You found a show that will explore how to experience a kingdom lifestyle that is both focused and balanced. Welcome to Live Exceptionally. In a world where we are constantly bombarded with demands on our time and attention, it can be difficult to find the space to truly live our best lives. But what if we could find a way to live exceptionally with a sense of purpose, freedom, and rest? Whether you're a busy professional, a stay-at-home parent, or anyone who wants to live a more focused and balanced life, this show is for you. Join us as we discover how to live exceptionally, finding freedom and rest along the way. Now, let's get into this week's episode of Live Exceptionally with Dr. Yvonne Thompson.
Welcome back to Live Exceptionally. I'm Dr. Yvonne, your host, founder of Elisi, and author of Can You Sleep Like This in the Rest of God and Reflections on Rest. Have you ever considered owning your own business? How do you step out as a woman and be successful? Tune in as we speak with Erica Williams, founder of Metamorphosis, as she shares insights on overcoming stigmas and taking steps to launch out on your own in our continued Women in Business series. Good morning, Erica. Can you share about your business's purpose, mission, and focus?
Yes. Hey, everyone. Thank you so much. It's an honor to have you, Dr. Yvonne, on this wonderful platform. So we have a two-pronged approach when it comes to my business. One, I have a consulting business in which I support faith-based organizations, city governments, when it comes to grant proposal writing and training and professional development around those spaces. The other part of our business is a nonprofit that we have called Metamorphosis Educational Services, in which my husband and I are founders. And Metamorphosis is all about inspiring change from the inside out through arts education.
That sounds like a lot of things that you're doing, because I also know you work at a local college in Chicago. What would you say are some of the key stigmas that you encounter as a woman, business owner, and also entrepreneur?
You know, that's a really great question. When I saw the questions that you sent over, I really took a moment to say, hey, what is my experience as a woman? Because I don't really lead with the fact that, oh, you're a woman, you're a Black woman, none of those things. I really rest and sit in the fact that, oh, I'm a child of God, right? That Romans 8 and 15, the spirit of adoption. And I think I can only, I think I get more of a, you're young. People have a perception that because of the way I dress sometimes or the way I present myself, sometimes, and my personality is typically very bubbly, that I'm like a Gen Zer. No shade to the Gen Zers. I am an older millennial, so I get some ageism every now and again. I think people kind of relax when they, you're that old? I'm like, yes, I got a little age on me. As a woman, I really have experienced benefits from that, because when it comes to, and my husband also has a business, so when it comes to, like, you know, falling in that category of being a minority-owned business, there are opportunities and things that come across my table, because it is the killing of two birds with one stone. So I don't get too often feeling like or experiencing people treating me less than because I am a woman.
Do you think that there are stigmas that a lot of women encounter? I think that's a blessing that you don't, because a lot of women do face that. But do you come across in all the things that you're doing and even just interacting with a lot of people, particularly at a school, that there are stigmas that people or students may approach you about that they're encountering?
I think, you know, of course, there's an exception to every rule. I really feel like whatever your lens is what you will encounter. Not to be like oblivious to the fact that there is patriarchy and misogynism, you know, all those things, like that is a very, very real thing. I find that when I have conversations with administrators or educators or whomever, oftentimes in my experience, talk about me, if you lead with that, they're going to perceive me as other because I'm a woman, then that's what you get. I think also just being a Black woman, like, you know, especially Black American, the matriarchy is really the thing that's at the forefront. So Black women are doing their thing and leading things and have been doing so. Big Mama and them have been doing all the things for a very, very long time. So I think it's, again, which your lens is. Of course, you know, people, you know, they experience whatever they experience, like, you know, things happen to people. But again, I think it's the lens by which you lean into. Like, for example, I remember we bought for the first time, we like this really vibrant blue color car. And I had never paid attention to it until we got it. So now, you know, you drive there. I'm like, oh, I have that. I see the color everywhere all the time now, because that's something that's now at the forefront of my mind, because that's what we have. But I'm, you know, sure women experience those things. And I'm not ignorant to that thing, but I think just being mindful of how you allow that to shape your identity and how you do engage in the business and the work that you do.
I think that's a great perspective, because sometimes if we go in with a certain preconceived notion, then that can tend to color our view or filter how we are perceiving the situation. And I don't think it's necessarily specific to whether you're a woman. It could be something like, oh, I feel like I'm overweight. Then every time I'm interacting with people, I'm thinking they're looking at me because I think that they think I'm overweight. But you talk about ageism, and I think even with a lot of the things that we hear going on, even politically, and I'm not trying to go into a political conversation, but it does highlight that whole notion around what people perceive as a person who is educated or has wisdom or experience tied to a person's age. And so you mentioned that that's something that you have actually encountered more frequently than your gender.
For sure. For sure. I get it from women. I get it from men. I get it from peers. They're like, oh, hey, baby girl. And today is, you know, it's Friday. So I throw on a hoodie. I have a lot of events with young people today. So, you know, when in Rome, you know, become all things to all men. They see me in a hoodie and some sneakers. They get a little bit more at ease to come talk to me about, you know, getting their needs met. But I get that a lot. Like people, oh, you know, you little sweetheart or little girl, or, you know, I get that a lot. And I'm like, I'm always like, oh, you really think I'm 15? I get it from I've gotten it from my son's teachers before. And then, you know, I'll just see how long it goes. I'll just like, oh, okay. And it'll be 6 months later. And I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm this age. And they're like, really? You're And I'm like, I'm middle aged.
How do you try to address this as a woman leader? Not only like, you know, you said that you'll go with it, but how do we kind of move the needle for people, regardless if you have a hoodie on or if you have a suit on, moving the needle for people to move away from those type of preconceived presuppositions?
Yeah, I love that question. And the thing that comes to me is the scripture. I can't remember the address, but it pretty much says, be careful how you entertain strangers, because you might be entertaining angels. And, you know, the theologians can talk about that in the context in which it was written and where it comes from. And I'll use it in how I approach situations. Deal with people. I think that means literally angels, you know, actual angelic host and presence, but also you never know who a person is and what they know and what they bring to the table. And so if we deal with people on a case-by-case basis and assume the best, then that can help us push aside our biases and really like be in the moment with someone to have a real authentic, genuine situation. That's what I work towards doing. And then mind you, I'm always like, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, who's this person or what's the situation and how do you go? And, you know, Holy Spirit definitely gives wisdom, but even in whatever the discernment is or whatever I discern or the wisdom I get back, I still want to at least treat you as a human being, know that there's value in you, also know that there's something I can learn from you, make it be a reciprocal type of thing. And I find when I do that, that's when, the biases and then, you know, whatever the previous experiences I may have had with, you know, a person that fits a particular mold that kind of like dies down or is pushed to the side. And I think that could really help. That being in the moment with somebody is a real thing because, you know, we're inundated with social media, our phones and all the things of life that we can miss it. So I think that can help.
Your business, talk a bit about your business. And when you talk about helping people to change, dig in a little bit more to how you are bringing your business to some of these types of changes and moving the needle.
Yeah. So, wow. So quick backstory. I'm from West Philadelphia, born and raised. and I didn't grow up in the church. But I, at the age of 14, I had an opportunity to travel abroad. It was a performing arts training kind of company. And then by the time I turned 15, I did my first national commercial with the NBA. And then I just had this trajectory of doing things, commercials, plays, productions with people who are, you know, really phenomenal in their art. Leslie Odom is one of the people, and I can go on and on and on and on about the people that I know I've performed with. I was accepted to the Juilliard School. I turned it down because God just took me on another path. So in college, I ended up getting saved and my whole paradigm shifted. My business started. I'm leaving out a couple of things, but I ended up going to move to New York in 2008 or 2009, one of those years, and worked for an arts-based company, and they didn't pay us, right? They did not pay us. And, you know, they gave us all this, you know, let's keep hope alive and all the things. And you hold on, because you're working with children. And then it just depleted my savings. I went back to Philly and I sat there in prayer in my room saying, God, how do I be of remedy to this? Mm-hmm. And at the time I got the name that came to me was Not a Starving Artist, in which I was working to be a temp agency for artists and all the things. Went to grad school, fast forward. I then changed the name to E. Brown Creative Services. And I was like, God, I don't want this to be about me. And so I remember being at the bookstore and metamorphosis kept coming to me. Metamorphosis. And I was like, okay, God, but like, what's the niche? And so he broke it down to me. It's capital MET-A-morphosis. And he had me look it up. And so capital M-E-T, met, means to meet, capital A, alpha, and morphosis is the one who changes, right? And so being a believer, knowing that I had an amazing time in the creative and performing arts, but also knowing I got stories about casting couches and how well-named people have tried to proposition me and I've turned it away and walked away. And so Metamorphosis Educational Services is a tool to inspire change from the inside out by using biblical principles through the creative and performing arts to present age-appropriate arts to children. And so we work in K-12 environments. We also do some stuff in collegiate environments as well. And it really is our students who are like, I want to be an entertainer. Like our goal is to dismantle that, to have them use the arts to find God's purpose through them. And then for those who are not interested in the arts at all, but like, you know, it's the teacher's, I'm going to keep it really real. It's the teacher's prep, or it's something fun to do. It's how do I use the tools of the arts to become my best self, a public speaker, critical thinker, work collaboration. How do I, you know, work on my posture and my poise? How do I become a well-rounded human being? And so that's how Metamorphosis came about. And it was a journey because it originally started 2009. And then we've gone through several iterations. And then finally, you know, we are 501c3, and we are a vendor with Chicago Public Schools. We do things in Philly as well with schools. And it's just my heart for so many artists I know right now that I can name have, for lack of a better word, sold their soul, sold their integrity, sold their morals in order for some their names to be in light and lights, and they have no foundation, no heart on who they are and God's purpose for them. And so that's like kind of the full long story of how Metamorphosis came about.
I do believe that when you talk about Metamorphosis, particularly using working with young people, that it definitely enhances their self-esteem. And I was talking to another guest, and we were talking about the limiting beliefs that we have as adults, particularly in women, and how most often those things didn't materialize as adults. They started from growing up as a child, in our childhood, you know, the things that people tell us, the things that people say to us negative, that potentially we could, you know, possibly start to internalize. You know, people say, oh, you know, you talk too much, or you're this, or you're that. And then the child internalizes it. And then as they get older, unless there are strong people who are actually counteracting those words that are being said by saying, you know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and, you know, you are Christ's workmanship, people who are decreeing and declaring the word of God and declaring their identity in Christ over them, most often a lot of young people grow up with these limiting beliefs that stunt their growth, stunt their gifting, stunt their skills and their full capacity. And so I have always been someone that really enjoy the arts, love the arts. And so I feel like it's definitely a benefit when it helps to come alongside young people that will nurture their gifts, nurture and blossom that whole change of getting rid of the negative self-talk, the word curses that's been spoken on them, where even if it's not something where they're going to become an artist, so to speak, just the enjoyment. It's almost like a self-care that's taking place to help heal those injuries that happen to them.
For sure. Absolutely. The arts are all of that and then some. And and we're in a lot of environments where it's not Christian, you know, Chicago public schools, it's, you know, whatever the school may be. And we're always praying, Lord, let us be a light. And teachers will come, administrators will say, like, what is it about? Hold up, this is different. You don't play the ratchet, ridiculous music. You have, you know, you have a standard. They're learning etiquette. We also meet. So the education part, because we don't just do what we can do. When we do workshops and, you know, we pop up for 2 hours, we can do arts for the sake of arts. But the arts education piece is, okay, we sit down with grade level chairs and, you know, teachers. Hey, what are you teaching in class? We also have a curriculum around literacy in the arts. Okay, what's the literacy rates in your classroom? Okay, our word wall is going to mirror what you're doing in the class, and we incorporate what they're already learning in the classroom, in whatever we're doing, whether it's dance, whether it's music, whether it's drama. And teachers are really amazed. And I always tell them, like, I learned all the PhDs I knew growing up were dancers and actors and musicians. Freedom Theater, Freedom Theater is amazing in Philly, but we always were taught, you're not just an artist for being an artist. You have a responsibility for your community, and you have a responsibility to educate and empower. And so I agree with you 1,000%.
That's amazing. What would you say are the first steps that women should take to start their path to coming to their own business? Like, you've mentioned a few businesses that you're involved in. Mm-hmm. What would you share as first steps of how to support or encourage a woman to start their path?
Yeah, so I'll say this. There's many things to start. So one, seek God, right? And some people be like, I need 35 confirmations. Look, if it's in you to do it, then do it. Write down a plan, write down the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And then in your prayer time, just ask Holy Spirit to breathe on it and write down whatever it is he's giving you, right? When it comes to that. Two, I think we get into the Proverbs 31 woman is a great idea and myth. And I really think that's really talking about the church, because we are his bride as a body. But you don't have to do everything at one time, right? You can scaffold and you can build. And I'm a proponent. I'm also a business coach. People are like, what? I work with Sunshine Enterprises on the South Side, and I coach how to start your businesses with them. And I teach in their cohort. But one of the things that I do, like with all the businesses that I have, I'm a grant proposal writer during certain periods of the year. when I know it's grant season, I have this amount of time, I have this amount of support as a wife and a mother, and I can go ham and support these three organizations writing whatever these proposals are, right? Two, when it comes to the arts, we have people who work with us who are contractors. So I'm like on the ground once a month, but I'm also providing trainings, you know, once a month, in which our staff have to be a part of that while I do the other things that the Lord has put on my table to do. Two, be savvy. If you work a 9-to-5 and you have, because I work, like as noted, I'm an administrator at a college in Chicago as well. And one of the things that people would do, one, because you want to have a business to make money, right? One of the things people would do is plugging up, my computer's about to die. There we go. Someone will think, or we've been taught to go get another job, right? When really you just have to reduce your tax bracket. So technically, by the United States government law, in order to have a home-based business, you must work in that home-based business 45 minutes a day for 4 days a week. You can reduce what you pay for rent or mortgage and utilities, things that you're already paying for, by simply starting a home-based business. If you make cakes on the side, you do hair on the side, you might tailor and, you know, clean or, you know, sew stuff, or you might even be a person who tutors on the side. Go to the IRS website, get a free EIN number. You could be a solopreneur, you could be a LLC, whatever it is, right? When you are doing your taxes, your regular 1099, you do a Schedule C in conjunction with that. But again, you're already paying for your electricity, your water, your gas bill. You're already paying for your cell phone bill. You can designate a space in your house to be your office, and you can reduce your taxes. Even if you make no money, no profit, you can, if you make 100K, you can reduce that tax bracket by 20, 30, even 40% if you do it right, right? So I believe everybody should have a business. And then just scaffold it. Start with the first three steps. I believe in getting 1% better every day, right? And by the end of the month, you're 30% better. So
listen, yeah, be savvy. All of us have a business. All of us have something that we do. One of the things when you're working a salary, let's say you're making $50,000 a year and you want to bring home more money, one of the first things that you can do, instead of getting a separate job and working at, I don't know, whatever at night or on the weekend, reduce your taxes. And so when you have a home-based business, there's a book I'll look up. His name is Sandy Boykin, and he is a former tax lawyer that will give you over 20,000 different tax deductible things you can do as a home-based business. You're already paying for your cell phone, your water, your electricity, blah, blah, blah. Find some space in your house, have a desk set up, and by USA standards, you must, in order to be considered a home-based business, you must work 4 days a week, 45 minutes a day in that business, right? And so if you're cooking or making cakes or even tutoring your kids or tutoring somebody else's kids, that is a business. Begin, think like a business and start small. Get your EIN number. There's so many different things. There's Cornell's has an e-business certificate. I actually did that for women. You can do that. It's free. There's a look up business training programs that are free in your neighborhoods or areas. Go to the Business Bureau or the procurement office with your city or your local city council person or your local alderman where you are to find out where those resources are, and you can get the free training that can help you. But all of us have a business. All of us have hair or something that we do, because again, the goal is to reduce your taxes to bring home more money. Most recently, our business bought off both of our cars, right? So the cars that we own that we had, or we transitioned them over to our business, the money that we've been making through our business, we're able to completely pay off our vehicles. So you can start small, start like that. Also, you can have a niche or not have a niche. I don't know. It's up to you. But I specifically coach people and support people who are in the education and arts education sector. I recently had a client who had whatever trauma she had from teaching during COVID and all the things, but still is an amazing educator. I worked with her on her proposal. Go target charter schools and tell them you will specifically support their homebound students, right? There are students who have dialysis or whatever they have going on in which they can't come into the classroom. You can build the school however many hours to go and do that business, whether it's virtually or in person. or from your home or whatever it is, like just start small and also think like a business. So for example, anytime I do something for somebody for free, you know what I do? I send them an invoice. Here's an invoice of what I would charge to be doing this with you for this, these many hours. And then it'll say the cost, it'll say waived because I did it for in kind or I did it for a friend or a family member. But now it puts me in a mindset of documenting the billable hours that I will be billing a municipality or whoever for the work that I do. Get into those habits. A really good friend of mine, she made our wedding cake, right? It was beautiful. It was amazing. And I said, girl, you better give me an invoice for this. I don't care if it is a gift. Begin to think like that. And then when you're trying to go for grants or go for the next level of funding, you now can present those funders with, well, this is what I've done in the last year. Yes, it was in kind, but this is how much my services are. And it'll work for you. And I remember being young because my business started in 2009 and I thought I was going to blow up overnight, but there were things that the Lord had me do that I was like, why am I doing this? Fast forward to where I am now. I remember I was doing something. The Lord was like, oh, you got that curriculum. You did that. I had to do that. So when I'm training people to be me or to represent our principals at schools and I'm not there, it's called the Metamorphosis Classroom. It's a 22-page document, a training document the Lord had me do like in 2010 to train teachers to come, our contractors to come work with us. It was already done. So don't despise when God gives you something and you have to draw it out. Also use YouTube University. And then there are tons of in-kind services that you can get from lawyers who will help you walk you through the process so that your stuff is legit and you are really, if nothing else, reducing your taxes and bringing home more money.
What would you say is your most memorable success story that you've experienced thus far as a woman business entrepreneur and founder?
I have two that came to mind. I'll talk of one most recently. This past Saturday, I signed a contract with the city. I was brought, and I work from home, like it's virtual. Like I'm working for the city of Philadelphia. They contracted my business, right? And I'll be doing my business from home. And they were like, how much you charge? Okay, great. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. I signed the contract on Saturday. Thank you. And we've already been in talks about continuing the contract and extending it for the rest of the year, right? So that's one. Two, when I finally stepped officially out of the classroom wholeheartedly and went into my business 100%, I had a big time person sit down with me and say, how many schools you want? And I was like, and so I then got into the issue became, do I have the right people working with me? And I did not have the capacity because they literally had like 25 schools that I could be in every day. Like I gave them my price. I told them, they were like, yep, we'll pay that. Yep. And they kept coming back saying, we got more classes and more hours. That was an amazing feeling, an amazing opportunity. But I did not have the capacity because I only had like a small staff of like 5 people. And so that's where I'm at right now, trying to really like train people to so that we can go into all the places and spaces. So those are the two.
Awesome. Congratulations on that contract. That's the just the beginning, I'm sure, for more bigger and better. What would you like to share as your closing thought or prayer?
Let's see. So I want to pray for strength and for wisdom. We know what we do well. Sometimes as women, and especially as mothers, we don't necessarily know how to navigate the space, right? And how to plan appropriately. My children know Monday and Wednesday, mommy's at her office. She's working till 9 o'clock. And I'm working on, I've had to space out certain things to, you know, do it on certain days. So I want to pray for that strength and that wisdom and strategy for women and to know, to be like, you know, the Issachar grace. We hear about it a lot when discerning the times, but also discerning the times and seasons of your business. I'll say one really quick thing. I came on as an administrator. I was already doing grant stuff. I was trying to tap into the federal government grant space. And it was like, God has had me on a training course in my current job. And he said, I told you, I put in you, you know what you're doing. on that next level scale. So I just wanted to note that. And so you want me to pray or you want to pray?
No, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So Father, we love you. We thank you. God, you're so good. You're so awesome and wonderful to us. Father, we just thank you for this time of you being in the midst of us. We thank you that you are our creator and that you know what we stand in need of. And as women, as your daughters, when you revealed yourself, you revealed yourself to a woman and she went to go tell the disciples that you were resurrecting, and the woman at the well went to go tell her town to come see a man that knows all about them. You have a purpose and a mission for us as your daughters, and I pray has an idea, a thing in our hands that you will cause us to have greater grace, wisdom, and strategy to be able to do what we do, do it where it builds a legacy for our children's children, and do it with your grace. I pray, Lord God, you have made us multifaceted. Give us soundness of heart and soundness of mind. And we pray, Lord God, that you will turn our hearts of the kings, that you will turn them in our favor so that we not be those that will squander the seed, but those that will plant, and that it will grow, and that it will be a harvest for a lifetime. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome your wisdom and your grace. We seek you. We thank you, Lord God, for letting it be so. We thank you that we lead and we execute our business from a place of victory because we are seated in heavenly places with you. We thank you that the enemy is under our feet. And we thank you, Father, that you are just doing it for your namesake. And we will not be put to shame because we do what we do, not in the name of ourselves, but in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you. And I just pray that we see the tangibility of you being God in our business and every other aspect. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. That's all the time that we have for this week's episode. Tune in next week for another episode of Live Exceptionally. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share with others on YouTube or your preferred podcast platforms. And stay connected with us at elisi.org. Have an exceptional week.
Thanks for joining us for Live Exceptionally with Dr. Yvonne Thompson. Each week, we'll explore the secrets to living a life that is both intentional and fulfilling. We'll talk to folks that will share about productivity, mindfulness, and self-care to learn practical tips and strategies for staying focused, managing our time, and finding balance within a kingdom mindset. We'll also hear from people who have made the choice to live exceptionally and learn from their experiences and insights. Connect with Dr. Yvonne by signing up at elisi.org. That's elisi.org. Until next time, we're praying that you find balance.